breathed sighs of relief when they once again could feel the sun on their faces. Richter still shuddered when he thought about it. There hadn't been any overt physical danger, but he knew in his heart that there was something sinister down that hole. He had almost been reluctant to finish the quest after that, but he still powered through. Thankfully, the third interesting location was relatively benign. His map had led him to the foothills to the north of the village. After climbing a narrow and winding trail, he had found himself in a small clearing. What he found was a miniature Stonehenge. Each of the upright rocks had a symbol carved into them, though weather had worn almost all details away. Luckily, one of the wood elves in his party knew the importance of such sites. She said that it was thought stone circles like this could lead to the world of the Fae. The elf had scoffed right after she had said it, stating it was a tale grandmothers told children and nothing more. Richter wasn't so sure, though. Right after the elf guard had finished speaking, he had received a prompt letting him know his quest had been completed. Congratulations, you have completed a quest. Know Your Backyard 1. You have examined and discovered the importance of three locations of interesting rank or higher. You are one step closer to becoming a true master of your domain. Reward, 4,688 experience. Reward, plus 0.4% chance of locations within your domain of interesting rank or higher becoming a dungeon. The experience wasn't that much, but that wasn't really the point. He had finished 3 out of 4 of the quests needed to level his village. Richter had been worried that he would need to unlock all of his powers for the settlement to reach level 2. He wasn't sure what level of monsters would appear, but he knew his people weren't ready to deal with it. The fact that other quests would be spawned by the village was a game changer. Even more exciting was the second reward. Richter initially had no idea why dungeon was capitalized, but once he spoke to Tirad, he knew that he wanted one. According to the captain, notable locations often attracted monsters and beasts. That was how lairs were created. In very rare instances, the energy of the monsters could infuse the locations with their magic and souls. From that point on, the lairs were known as a dungeon, and the monsters would continually be reborn. Tirad said that while this might sound horrible, dungeon monsters sometimes dropped coins and items when slain, so dungeons were coveted locations. Richter's face almost split in half by the time his companion had finished speaking. He did have one question, though. Is there usually a really difficult monster to beat at the end of the dungeon? Tirad nodded. So you have heard of these special dungeons before, my lord? Richter nodded with extreme satisfaction. All that was going through his mind was, oh, baby! Even though the chance to obtain such a dungeon was slim, it was still exciting. In the meantime, though, he focused on what he could do. Another benefit from his daily excursions was that he was able to discover various plants that were scarce or even more rare. The first day, for instance, Richter was finally able to retrieve the shiverleaf frond that was on the edge of his domain. It had been difficult because it was at the bottom of a submerged cave. He had had to use his fish ring to get to the bottom of the subterranean lake, and it was populated by a type of large eel. The creatures were weak, though, and after he killed one with a dagger strike, its fellows occupied themselves with eating the corpse. Richter had to search for a while, but he finally found fronds hidden under a rocky overhang 30 feet underwater. Once Richter saw them, it became clear how the rare plants had earned their name. The green fronds vibrated slightly, creating small, bubbly disturbances. He harvested more than 20 of the plants, along with handfuls of the muck they had been growing in, leaving 8 behind. The plan was to plant some of them in the dragon's cauldron, but in case they did not grow there, Richter wanted to allow this patch of plants to regrow. The daily raid let him finish a quest and get another. Congratulations, you have finished a quest. If it grows from the ground, it's probably okay, too. You have brought 5 rare herbs to Isabella. Stillwater lantern, shiverleaf frond, hellfire shrub, tulaberry, and target lily. As this was a villager-supplied quest, it will aid in the progression of your administration skill. Reward, 1,563 experience. Reward, plus 5 village-wide loyalty, plus 10 loyalty for anyone with the herb lore or alchemy skills. The war party was normally out for 2 to 3 hours, though the first day required the entire afternoon. He ended each hunting trip by reestablishing his control over his tamed adder. He made sure his entire war party was present for 2 reasons. 1, to kill the snake in case it broke free of his control, and 2, to restrain him if the blood magic made him a danger again. Luckily, his improvement in self-awareness paid huge dividends in his use of blood magic. Richter actively linked to Alma each time that he cast Tame, and though he felt the bestial side of himself rise up, he was able to keep it under control. Richter felt a swell of pride at his new magical proficiency. It was true that he was only casting the weakest of deep magic spells, but it was a start. After his war party was safely back behind the walls, Richter finally tried his hand at working with the builders. Roswan had spoken to him with his customary, "Real men have calluses," attitude when Richter had first walked up, but the builder still welcomed another able body to work beside him. The Chaos Seed quickly gained the construction skill. He also gained a subskill in masonry when he worked with stone and a subskill in carpentry from helping to lay a wooden floor. After 4 days, he had leveled all 3 several times. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 4 in construction. Plus 2% to building speed, plus 1% durability of the finished building. Congratulations, you have reached subskill level 3 in masonry. Plus 2% to durability when building with stone. Plus 2% longevity of finished buildings. Congratulations, you have reached subskill level 4 in carpentry. Plus 1% durability when building with wood. Plus 1% weather protection for finished buildings. Even Roswan seemed impressed at the quickness that Richter was picking up the good building practices. When the elf heard about Richter's masonry and carpentry subskills, he let loose his most expressive yet. Richter almost blushed. Once Richter gained his construction skill, he was able to add more unskilled workers under him, which made the building pace increase. The increase in the mist workers he could summon was also good for productivity. For instance, 10 to 20 were dedicated to pulverizing simple stone into gravel each day and making rudimentary roads between the buildings and up to the village gate. Even that simple change made it a good deal easier to move around. 3 other factors made a bigger difference, however. The increase in village loyalty increased productivity by 20%. The increased morale upped production speed by 10%, and his own modest skill in administration further increased productivity. The boost in productivity, coupled with the mist workers, nearly doubled the work that could be done every day. Piles of wood and harvested stone grew, waiting to be used. With the excess resources came renewed complaints about needing a storage shed, but it was a good problem to have. Richter also received another subskill while working with his people. Congratulations, you have reached subskill level 5 in Lead from the Front. Plus 1% productivity for projects you ordered that you help with yourself. This is a subskill of administration. Each day he worked with the builders until it was time for dinner. The number of mist lights multiplied as Richter, Alma, and Futin made them whenever they could. The mile of cleared land around the village wall was soon festooned with the glowing gray orbs. His people could now see easily, day or night. Key areas within the walls also had lights hung regularly at about 15 feet above the ground. Richter planned to have the rest of the village lit as soon as possible. After sharing a small meal with his people, Richter went to the eastern edge of the village alone. Alma normally perched somewhere nearby. Some of the villagers started coming to watch what their lord did each night, enjoying the show from a safe distance. Richter had decided to do something he had put off for too long. It was time to grind. The Chaos Seed faced off against a small boulder each night and started casting. He would go through his spells one by one, chaining them together without pause. Weak Flame, Weak Ice Dagger, Weak Acid Sphere, Weak Lightning Bolt, Weak Life Bolt, and Weak Dark Bolt. Richter pushed himself to go as fast as possible until his mana ran out. He intentionally pushed until the blue bar in the corner of his vision almost completely depleted. Then he would wait until it refilled completely before starting again. He didn't gain any bonus characteristic points, but his ability to deal with the pain of mana depletion improved. For at least an hour each night, he focused solely upon his fire magic. His Book of Weak Fireball was calling his name, but he couldn't learn the spell until he reached skill level 12. Richter kept at it each night, and his magic skills slowly improved. It was frustrating how much slower his skills progressed outside of combat, but there was no denying that fighting a boulder was infinitely safer than battling monsters. After 2 to 3 hours, Richter would call it a night. His villagers would clap and then retreat to bed once the show was over. The Chaos Seed then walked into the catacombs with one of the novice mages in tow. With their help, he would then spend a few hours transcribing a new spell. Over the first few days, he was able to make several books. Congratulations, you have created a spellbook, Book of Virol's Blessing. Durability 11 of 11. Item class, common. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 0.4 kilograms. Casting this spell will increase the yield and potency of a 20 by 20 yard area of plants by 5%. Successive casts of this spell create a cumulative effect for a max of 100%. This spell can be cast once per day. This is a spell of life, level 1. Congratulations, you have created a spell book, Book of Weak Air Push. Durability 13 of 13. Item class common. Quality well-crafted. Weight 0.4 kilograms. This spell creates a column of air 10 feet in front of you, 1 foot in diameter. Does no real damage, but will knock enemies back and possibly prone. This is a spell of air magic, level 1. Congratulations, you have created a spell book, Book of Weak Life Beacon. Durability 11 of 11. Item class, common. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 0.4 kilograms. This spell shoots a golden flare high into the air. Any creatures with a relationship to you, friendly and above, within 1 mile will be compelled to come to your aid. This is a spell of life, level 1. Richter learned each of the spells, as well as Glitter Dust. Soon, all of his magi who had sworn fealty and had the required affinity learned the spells from him as well. After scribing each night, he would retire to his bedchamber. His final task of the day was spending some quality time with one of the twins, or Lorala, and on one special night, all three. Admittedly, that was Richter's favorite part of the day. After the first day, Alora and the other pixies started making their way into the village. Every last man, woman, and child fell in love with the beautiful flyers. The celestial children definitely had a mischievous streak, but they played tricks on each other as much as on the villagers. As far as Richter could see, no one really minded. For his own part, he quickly came to love them all as well. Many called him Uncle Richter and happily buzzed around him as much as they could. One of their favorite games was chasing Alma and Futin, the only other two flyers in the village. The Dragonling took the attention in stride, but the remnant seemed to pulse in irritation when he was mobbed with children. At least, that was the way it appeared to Richter. Richter and Alora also spent time alone, discussing various things. The conversations, unfortunately, stopped after one day, but one of the topics they covered was about the Pixie Queen's status page. First, they spoke of the adjustments to her characteristics. It turned out that there was indeed a significant alteration in her numbers in light of her size. At 13 inches, she was considered tiny. Tiny creatures normally had a 50 to 60% reduction to strength, a 20 to 30% increase to dexterity and agility, and a 20 to 40% reduction in constitution and a 10 to 20% reduction in endurance. Racial differences could make even more profound impacts on character stats, but it explained why her numbers were so skewed. She told him that was one of the reasons that she was having such a hard time distributing her characteristic points. Through their talks, she also explained her abilities. Celestial Pixie Song was the racial ability pixies had to evoke strong emotions and summon images with their music. The ability could be evoked at any time, but special songs could only occur at certain times. The Song of Joy and Remembrance, for instance, could only happen at royal pixie births. Alora admitted to never having known the song to give such powerful and lifelong buffs. She could only think that it must have been the combination of her race evolving to be celestial, and also most likely because it was the first birth seen in the land for centuries. Alora said she doubted that any future Songs of Joy and Remembrance would have such an effect. She also described the ability Tree Communion. It was fairly self-explanatory, but there were facets that Richter hadn't been aware of. Each female pixie could bond to a tree, and that allowed the pixie race to continue its life cycle. Female pixies could bond to a tree once per year, and two children would result from that union. Royal pixie queens were different in that they could produce offspring twice per year, and 100 young would be produced. Richter also learned that bonding to the tree meant that a pixie could not travel beyond a certain distance from the tree they were linked to. Doing so would cause the pixie to weaken and risked damage to the tree as well. This distance increased as the bond deepened and the pixie leveled, but apparently never completely disappeared. Alora didn't seem distressed by this, however, and in fact told Richter that there were boons to the communion, such as increased mana regeneration. The ability Fate's Companion dealt with the creation of a Maidan. As Richter had already seen, some pixies and sprites were predestined to bond. Alora said she had never witnessed a bonding before, but she had been taught about them by her mother. The stories she had been told said that both the pixie Maitu Maidan and the sprite Maitu Maidan were changed by the union. It made Richter wonder if his friend would be different when he emerged from the silver shell. The last ability, Force Blast, was used for offense in battle. The pixie could apparently focus their mana and fire it in a concentrated blast. That was what he had read about when he analyzed the various types of sprites. Something that was shocking was that Alora could access the extra effects of all four of her offspring. Her Force Blast ability let her use dark, air, life, or water effects. She told Richter that all pixies had always had the capability to weaponize their mana, but that the extra effects had only existed since she had bonded to the Quickening. Richter found it very interesting that Alora's blast ability seemed more evolved than that of her children. Her dark blast not only blinded, but also disoriented enemies. The water attack slowed, but could also freeze. The airstrike could stun and also be used continuously, not allowing enemies to recover. Alora finally said that after comparing her healing ability to some of her children's, hers appeared stronger. The change might have been because she was royal, but he hoped it was just because she was of a higher level and that her children could have stronger offensive abilities as well. The next thing she explained was her skills. Alora revealed that only royal pixies could cast spells. Despite her royal blood, though, Alora said she had never had a high enough affinity to cast spells before. Being level 1 in 4 of the basic elements had been a surprise to her. She told Richter that her herb lore skill had been earned through dedication, however. For years, she had followed her mother while they struggled to stay ahead of the plague that had ravaged her people, and every day had still been spent in service of nature. Her resistances, she could only assume, were part of her new celestial nature, as she had had no resistances prior to bonding to the Quickening. Richter had a crisis of conscience when he finished getting all of this information. She was a journeyman in herb lore, and was also above level 10. That meant one vitally important thing. She could go for a trial. The decision of convincing her to test for a profession was made even more attractive by the fact that she still hadn't allocated her characteristic points. If the same rules applied as when he had gone for his own trial, then she would get 9 levels worth of talent points. On the other hand, Alora was a new mother. Wouldn't it be wrong to send her to get her profession, especially as Nexus seemed to grab people as soon as they so much as thought about going for their trial? Unfortunately, he just couldn't help himself. Do you plan to go for your profession soon?
It is interesting you would ask, my lord,
Alora said.
I have been considering that very thing.
Richter looked around quickly, but no giant hand appeared. He whipped his head back and forth like a crazy person until Alora asked if something was wrong. Befuddled, Richter said no, then a sound like a trumpet rung out. A small black disc appeared in the air near Alora. Rather than grabbing her, however, a black plank extended out from the portal towards her. Right after that, a bundle of red carpet unrolled, stopping at her feet. A moment later, Out walked Nexus, dressed in a formal black doublet with gold buttons. It was strange seeing the giant shrunk down to only a foot in height, but it was definitely him. He stopped at the end of the platform, only inches away from Alora, who was looking at him in alarm and surprise.
"Oh, fairest queen, I, humble auditor, do offer your august presence the opportunity of trial. You have progressed in your skills and level and deserve the opportunity to reach your potential, though you will need to be apart from your loved ones for a short time. Afterwards, you will be better able to provide for them in perpetuity and also care for your celestial tree. The choice, of course, is yours, m'lady, but I offer my humble services in this endeavor."
The cosmic figure dipped into an elaborate bow. Nexus's polite speech accomplished two things. Alora was put at ease and began to smile. Richter grew suspicious and began to scowl.
"Can I go speak to my children first?"
the pixie asked Nexus.
"Of course. This is your right and responsibility, your ladyship. If I may suggest, have them check in with Lord Richter regularly. He, I am sure, will safeguard their continued health while you are apart."
"Would you watch them, my lord?"
Alora asked. She clearly wanted to gain her profession, but was concerned for her children. Her soulful eyes pulled at his heartstrings. That was how Richter became the nursemaid for nearly 100 children all at once. Alora flew up into the limbs of the tree once he said yes.
"What are you up to, asshole?"
Richter asked the ebon-skinned man.
"Whatever do you mean, Lord Richter?"
Nexus asked benevolently.
"You know what I mean!"
Nexus smiled evilly.
"What I know is that I'm only here because of events you set in motion, fuckface. Let's stop talking about it, though. It's babysitting time for you."
Alora flew back with all of her children in tow, hearing almost 100 flying children shout,
"Uncle Richter! Uncle Richter!"
all at once as they vied for his attention was suddenly less cute than when he had heard it before. Alora thanked him again, and without further ado, flew through the black portal. Nexus walked after her, but turned back at the end and looked at Richter. The Chaos Seed was already getting stressed at trying to wrangle flying children that had super speed. They made eye contact, and Nexus smirked.
"Bye, douchebag,"
was the last thing the man said before going through the portal himself. The disc popped out of existence. Richter ground his teeth and thought about how much he hated that guy. Chapter 32, Day 117, Kaborn 7, 15,368 EBG. Several other important events happened over the days after he had escorted Moessa to the village, the first of which was Tabia completing the quest Prove Your Worth. Your quest Prove Your Worth has been completed. Tabia has created a noteworthy potion for you. Bayon has forfeited the contest, as he has not created a potion. Tabia has won the right to be placed in charge of the dragon's cauldron, second only to yourself and Sion. Will you keep your word and give her this honor, yes or no? Richter didn't hesitate to select yes. Not only had he intended to honor the terms of his agreement anyway, but when he made the quest, the prompt had been clear of dire consequences if he didn't. Also, the fact of the matter was, he needed someone to run the cauldron, and Bayon would be focusing more and more on his magic. Richter placed his hand on the central cauldron and gave her access, secondary only to Sion and himself. She beamed and looked around at her new domain while he examined the kick-ass potion she had made. You have found Potion of Gaseous Form, Potion Class Unusual, Potion Level Elixir, Strength Processed, Weight 0.1 kilograms. Swallowing this potion will change your body into a semi-gaseous form for 1 hour. 35% less damage received from physical attacks. The imbiber will be seen to flow across the ground. While this does not cause true flying or levitation, the rate of falling will be decreased by 35%. Times 37.
She had outdone herself.
Richter's comment that he hoped the potion didn't make him gassy was met with a flat stare from the alchemist, but he let her inability to recognize great comedy go.
These things would come in handy. She had also used the cauldron's special ability to make more copies of the original potion. Tavia apologized that she had run out of ingredients before she could get the max of 40 potions, but he waved her apology away. Richter had been happy with what Scion could do with the mana and health potions, but the Chaos Seed saw the true power of the cauldron now. It had taken a week of painstaking work to make the 4 doses of the gaseous potion that her journeyman rank in alchemy allowed. The fact that she could make dozens more in the blink of an eye, with a 100% success rate no less, was astounding. As happy as Tabio was to have won, the dark-skinned elf was silently gnashing her teeth at hearing how Bayon hadn't even tried to win, especially since she had been busting her hump for the last week. Richter had a feeling that the gnome's little prank might backfire when he had to work under her. The brown-skinned elf kept her composure in front of her new lord, though. Both she and her wife had bent the knees several days prior to Sumiko forming the Maidan, and the sprite had said they were both operating in the village with true intentions. The elf's eyes lit up when she saw the shiverleaf fronds. She made a big deal about the size of the plants and said she could make 6 or 7 potions out of each. This was good, because the only recipe they knew for the luck potions was at an elixir level, meaning there was a high risk of failure. From what Richter had been told, a journeyman in alchemy had only a 50% chance to successfully make an elixir. The cauldron increased that by 10%, but it still meant that she might go through 2 or even 3 measures of the plant before the potion was created. It also meant, though, that if it was successfully made, 1 plant would be enough to make all 4 doses that were allowed at her skill rank. Unfortunately, she told him that the recipe would take at least 5 days of work to finish. She asked if she could bring other villagers with the alchemy skill to help. He just smiled and told her that she was in charge now. The elf smiled back as she realized the truth of what he had just said. She was running her own lab. Richter left her with a massive smile on her face. Isabella greeted him with her customary hug and warm smile. The happy elf exclaimed in delight when he showed her the shiverleaf fronds. The fledgling life mage hustled him down the stairs of the herb shed and into the basement. Isabella grabbed a mist light that was hovering outside of the door to light their way. Richter was happy to see his people making good use of the mobile glowing globes. The gardener wasted no time walking to the back of the room, stopping in front of the pool. She told him that she had already had mist workers line the bottom of the pond with dirt, warning him to stay clear of the back of the pool, because that was where she had planted seeds for the Stillwater Lantern. She took each of the fronds that Richter had collected and harvested seed pods from their bases. He was pleased that the entire plant wasn't required to grow more, but was less pleased by what she said next.
I believe the deeper you plant these, the better, Lord Richter.
Me plant them? Richter asked.
If you would rather I do it, that is fine,
Isabella responded, slowly reaching up to unfasten the clasp on her shirt.
Bop, bop, bop. I'll do it, Richter grumbled.
I brought muck from the cave I found it in. Should I add that to the dirt at the bottom?
That is a wonderful idea,
Isabella said brightly. Richter removed his armor again and placed it in his bag, grumbling under his breath. He cast a suspicious eye at Isabella, fairly certain he had just been manipulated into getting wet. Thinking back to the earlier years of his life, he figured it was just karma. Richter removed all of the muck from his bag, mixing it with the dirt Isabella had put at the bottom of the pond and buried the seed pods. Swimming back up, he saw Isabella holding the rest of the fronds.
I will take these to Tabia, my lord. I assume that she is now running the cauldron?
Richter nodded and laughed. So you knew that Bayon would have to forfeit because of his trial? Isabella sniffed.
No, I just assumed that a woman of Tabia's quality would naturally triumph over any man.
Then she gave him a bright smile and swept out of the room. Looking after her in bemusement, he called after her.
Can I at least get a towel?
There was no response. Chapter 33, Day 119, Kaborn 9, 15,368 EBG. Richter continued his daily schedule. His power continued to grow, and he was able to first write and then learn 2 more spells. Congratulations, you have created a spellbook, Book of Gentle Rain. Durability 11 of 11. Item class common. Quality above average. Weight 0.3 kilograms. This spell summons a small rainstorm. It can be cast inside. This is a spell of air, level 1. Congratulations, you have created a spellbook, Book of Weak Cure Disease. Durability 11 of 11. Item class common. Quality well-crafted. Weight 0.3 kilograms. This spell will cure most common diseases. This is a spell of life, level 1. A wonderful surprise came when Richter realized that creating the spellbooks not only leveled his scribing skill, which had reached level 5 already, but it also leveled the spell skill he was writing about. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 9 in life magic. New spells are now available. Richter made sure to teach the new spells to any of his people that could learn them. The capitalist side of him wanted to start charging for the magic, but the pragmatic side of him knew that having more people who could water the crops or having more people who could prevent disease was a positive thing. He received sporadic updates that his relationship with certain villagers had increased, but his decision was further justified after he had taught the cure disease spell to all 32 of his life magi. Know this, 5% of your population has the ability to halt common diseases before they spread, plus 1 to village health. It wasn't a huge boost, but Richter would take it. Small things could make a big difference. After all, there were all those sayings like, mighty oaks from little acorns do grow, and that other one about the motion of the ocean. The Chaos Seed also stole extra time here and there to go see the Scathags. Each day, the sense of life he felt from them increased. The twins told him that spending time with the eggs would increase his animal husbandry skill and the exotic beast's sub-skill. He didn't know if he simply didn't allocate enough time, but the skills stayed at level 1. One day at lunch, though, Deera came running up and excitedly said, "It is time!" Richter dropped the piece of meat he had been gnawing on and started running towards the meadow. When he saw that the sexy but low-agility woman couldn't keep up, he picked her up in a cradle and kept running. Even his battle-hardened body had a hard time sprinting for miles while carrying someone else, but he kept at it. His green stamina bar was close to empty when he got to the lake on the western side of the North Meadow, but what was important was that he got there in time. The Chaos Seed put Deera down and looked at the steel enclosure that now encircled the baby scath nest. He thought back to a few days ago when he had stood here with Roswan. It hadn't taken Crom long to make the simple steel fence, but the builder was needed to properly install it. When Richter had shown the taciturn elf the scath nest, though, the man had made his customary noise, but somehow had also added a yum.
Yum,
Roswan had said while staring at the eggs.
Big eggs.
The elf's eyes had widened slightly, and his fuzzy caterpillar mustache was crinkling with a faint, half-hidden smile.
"Back away from the eggs!" Richter had shouted.
He was convinced that if a pig had wandered by at that moment, Roswan would have pulled a skillet from his back pocket and started to make a fire. As it was, the twins had picked up on the vibe and physically positioned themselves between the eggs and Roswan, until he and his fellow builders had buried the fence into the ground. Afterwards, Richter gave discreet instructions to the guards to stay close to the nest and not to let Roswan near it under any circumstances. Despite his weirdo builder's egg fetish, both he and Crom had done good work. The enclosure was round and 20 yards in diameter. Half of the fence extended out into the water and was much longer in height than the land half, so that it could sink at least 5 feet into the lake bottom while still being 5 feet above the surface of the water. The land side of the fence was also sunk 5 feet into the earth and similarly extended up 5 feet above the ground. Richter figured it should be more than enough to keep the squat babies inside of their pen. A latched gate hung open on the ground side. Richter and Deera ran through to see Darren hovering nearby the largest egg. He had wiped away the mud that was usually there to incubate the eggs. Several of them were vibrating, but none as much as the first. Darren looked up and said,
"Quickly, my lord, there isn't much time."
Not sure why he had to be down in the mud, Richter did as he was instructed anyway. The muck got all over his clothes, but he was soon caught up in the excitement. Deera picked up the bull scath egg and handed it to Richter. She passed it over gingerly, like she was holding a child, which Richter realized she was. The three of them knelt there, Deera to Richter's left and Darren to his right, while the Lord of the Mist Village cradled the large egg. The shaking increased, and cracks spread across the surface of the football-sized gray egg. A black claw broke through the shell, withdrew, and then struck the interior of the shell again. A piece fell away. Another claw broke the surface of the shell and pushed outward. In an increasing cascade, pieces fell away until the face of the baby bull scath was revealed. It mewled with its eyes still closed, crying out at the injustice of being born. Without thinking, Richter spoke to it softly. "It's okay. It's okay. I'm here." The small creature opened its eyes and looked at Richter. White sparkles formed in the air around Richter's kneeling form. Something changed. "Know this, Dragonkin Richter. You have been present at the birth of a bull scath. Your strong relationship with reptiles and your Psi-Bond ability has moved this moment beyond a simple birth. The bull scath has imprinted. This creature will have increased loyalty to you. For the duration of its life, it will perform better, take to training easier, and be more likely to follow commands. This is a wild animal, but imprinting greatly increases the chance of domestication. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in animal husbandry, plus 4% effectiveness in training, plus 2% stats for trained animals. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in exotic beasts, plus 4% more likely to domesticate wild beasts, plus 2% stats for trained animals. Congratulations, you have completed the quest Beast Tamer 1. You have successfully protected the scath clutch until it is hatched. More than that, you have imprinted upon the bull scath. For making such a connection, you shall receive a bonus reward. Reward, 625 experience. Reward, baby scaths. Reward, plus 50% increase chance to domesticate this clutch in addition to other modifiers. Bonus reward. Progeny of any imprinted scaths from this clutch have a plus 10% chance of hatching a monster of increased strength. Richter's eyes opened in shock. He could feel the connection with the small reptile he was holding in his arms. It had ceased bawling and was now looking at him in rapt fascination. For his own part, he felt a strong paternal instinct to protect this small creature. It was nothing compared to the soulful bond between himself and Alma, and was very different to the dominance he had over the shale adder. Perhaps only someone who had owned a dog since picking it from a litter, or had raised a foal since it was still wet from birth, would understand. This was a covenant. The bonus reward also opened fascinating possibilities. Did that mean he could breed not only monsters, but some sort of enhanced monster? Could he do it with the young of other types of dangerous animals? The carnassid piglets were down in a pen near the village pastures. The twins had said they could not raise the animals to follow commands, but that the piglets could easily be raised for meat. It didn't mean that there weren't other animals he couldn't domesticate, though. He needed to know more. How long until the scaths matured enough to breed? Would they be considered a resource and benefit from the quickening's level 2 25% bonus? He didn't think the animals could benefit from the population bonus that stemmed from the village's increased morale and health, but then again, who knew? Maybe one of the rank perks of leveling animal husbandry would let them mature faster. Richter was excited by the possibilities. He was also excited about the level perks from his two skills. A part of him had wondered what the point of raising animals was when he could simply dominate them with his blood magic. It was clear now, though, that raising the animals could make them much more powerful than if he simply found them in nature. His beast bonding skill increased his tamed animals' attack and defense by 1% for each skill level he achieved, but if the perks from both animal husbandry and exotic beasts were cumulative, by the time he reached level 10 in each, his trained creatures would be 40% stronger than any found in the wild. "You did it, my lord," Deera exclaimed. "You are simply amazing," Darren continued in fascination.
I never expected you to imprint onto the baby. Truly, you
are something to behold,
Deera finished with a smile. Darren handed Richter a fish, saying he needed to feed the baby to finalize the bond. Richter held it before the scath's mouth, and the reptile grabbed it and began to feast. The baby started to squirm as it tried to get more of the fish into its mouth, so Richter gently laid it down on the grass of the bank. As the bull scath continued to eat, Richter removed the shell pieces from its back. He poured water over it, gently cleaning away the bloody membrane that was clinging to its hide. The bull scath had soft skin that already showed the pattern of the hard scales that it would one day grow. Its body had the same squat bulldog appearance as the older versions of its kind. He'd finished eating the small fish, and then, to Richter's surprise, started eating the remnants of its shell. Richter reached down into the mud to put the rest of the shells within the easy reach of his newly imprinted scath. 5 more scaths were born that day, leaving 9 more unhatched. Richter held each egg as they hatched, and they all imprinted upon him. The bull scath quickly established dominance over the other baby scaths, but after that they played nice. Richter was worried about them getting mired in the mud or not knowing how to swim, but soon all of the reptiles were exploring the edges of their enclosure, both land and sea. The creatures appeared to be natural swimmers. One interesting thing was that Alma dropped onto the ground in the middle of the 6 scaths. She was longer than the baby scaths, but her body was far more sleek, making it look like she might be out of her weight class. The bull scath obviously thought so as well. With a mewling roar, it charged at Alma. She merely watched it approach, then at the last second, flapped her wings while jumping. The dragonling let the scath pass beneath her and then easily reached down and plucked it from the ground. Another beat of her wings was enough to lift the green creature into the air. She flew forward a few meters while it whined and pissed before dropping it unceremoniously. The fall was only 2 feet, but the baby was stunned. Alma landed atop it, flipped it over, and placed a taloned hand to its throat. The other scaths had been approaching, but she extended her neck and hissed. All 5 backed down. She looked down at the squirming bull scath and pressed her claws down ever so slightly. It stopped moving and laid still, limp and submissive. The message was clear. The bull might be the baddest dude on the block, but Lady Alma was the head bitch in charge. The sound of dozens of tiny hands clapping filled the air. Richter looked up and saw that the scath's birth had attracted the attention of the pixie children. They looked at the baby scaths in fascination. Richter warned them to stay away from the reptiles, to which they agreed, but he still saw them looking at the hatchlings with mischief in their young eyes. The Chaos Seed sighed. The last thing he needed was for Alora to come back from her trial, only to find out several of her children had been eaten. After spending a few more minutes with the baby scaths, Richter rinsed his clothes off and put on a fresh set, along with his armor and weapons. He summoned a mist worker to take his dirty clothes for cleaning, and then left the scaths in the twins' care while he started walking towards the village gate. In his haste to make it to the birth, he hadn't canceled the war party he had planned for the afternoon. His group was waiting for him, and not one of them questioned his tardiness. Richter appreciated the deference, but also found it somewhat boring. His thoughts turned wistfully to Sion, and he hoped his best friend would be back soon. As it turned out, he wouldn't have to wait much longer. Chapter 34, Day 119, Kaborn 9, 15,368 EBG. The war party was able to take down a cave of breath stealers. The snakes were 2 to 3 feet long and possessed a venom that gave them their name. It was only a small nest, and Richter's party dispatched it with no real difficulty, but he received some unpleasant news during the fight. He stunned the last remaining snake with weak lightning bolt. Then he grabbed it right behind its head and began to cast Tame, but he received a prompt first. At your current rank, you may only tame one animal at a time. Once an animal is completely under your control, you may start to tame another. Do you wish to break your control of the shale adder to begin taming the breath stealer? Yes or no? Richter quickly broke off his incantation and selected no on the notification window. It was a bit irritating that he was limited to gaining control over one animal at a time, but it just drove him to have a better understanding of his blood magic. The snake started spitting and trying to reach him to bite. Almost absent-mindedly, he grabbed the snake's tail in his other hand and stretched it out. Alma latched onto its body and drained it to death. All of the snake's bodies were gathered, and they started back to the village. That afternoon, Richter was helping to put the finishing touches on the village's new workshop when a guard started running towards him.
Lord Richter!
The guard wheezed. Catch your breath, Richter replied. Still needed to work on those calisthenics, he thought.
Thank you, my lord.
The guard took several deep breaths and wiped his brow. Then he said,
Something is happening by the quickening. One of the silver things is acting strange.
Richter almost asked him what strange meant, but then realized that if the man had a better word, he probably would have used it. So instead of pursuing a useless line of questioning, something that he hated doing, he just told Roswan he would be back soon. Then the Chaos Seed took off running to the meadow to see what had the guard so worked up. When he was finally beneath the quickening, he said, Huh, that is strange. There were over 30 Maedons present now, and one of them was phasing in and out of existence. The shell would fade to transparency, then disappear completely before snapping back to full solidity. When the Maedon was gone, Richter saw what looked like a pillar of yellow stone. The surface was irregular, like a stick of rock candy with faint sparkles in its granular surface. The disappearances started happening faster, and the periods of disappearance lasted longer until finally, the shell did not come back. A stiff breeze began to blow. Richter squinted while his short hair was tossed about. The wind grew stronger, but also more focused until it was only swirling around the yellow pillar. Particles began to fall off of the column, scoured from the surface by the miniature tornado, and were swept away. Soon the pillar was gone, and in its place was a kneeling figure with his palms cupped before him. A small humanoid stood in his hands. Scion! Richter called out excitedly. He started running forward. The pixie flew up from his perch in the sprite's hands and shouted his rebirth to the land, arms extended out. Scion stood as well and mirrored his Metu Maedon, extending to full height. The sprite threw his head back and took a deep breath in. Or at least, that was what it looked like he tried to do. What actually happened was that Scion fell over with a strangled cry. Scion! Richter shouted again, this time in panic. The sprite's face started turning red, and he rolled around on the ground, tearing at his armor. Richter's heart started beating wildly in concern. Had this union turned his best friend into some sort of insane monster? Was Scion having some sort of horrible reaction to the Maedon? Did something awful happen because the union was with a celestial being? Richter was stopped from any other concerned thoughts by his companion making eye contact and in a strangled voice saying, Why are you just standing there? Help me get this fucking armor off! It's too tight! Richter started laughing as hard as he could. Scion was still Scion. The sprite stared at him with widened eyes and nostrils flared, promising violent retribution for Richter's inaction. The Chaos Seed walked over, still chuckling, while Scion tried to dig his fingers into the knots that held his armor in place. Richter tried to help as well, but between the tension on the straps and the sprite's antics, it was an impossible task. Richter made a command decision and tackled his friend. Once Scion was relatively immobilized, he drew his +3 dagger and cut through the side straps, holding his companion's chest plate in place. The blade cut through the ties easily. So easily, in fact, that the white dagger cut through Scion's skin as well. The wound was superficial, but Scion still squawked in protest. He was finally able to take a deep breath, though, and his complaints morphed into a bout of coughing. Don't complain, you big baby, Richter said. He didn't know how Scion's armor had become a shrinky-dink, but he really didn't care. The band was back together! Richter hadn't realized how much he relied on his companion until the sprite was gone for a week. He was about to cast weak, slow heal when he was struck in the back of the head by a blast of electrical energy. Gah! Richter exclaimed. The damage done to him was minimal, but even a weak sucker punch was still a sucker punch. Before he could recover, what felt like a giant moth with sharp wings started attacking his face. He was about to swat at it as hard as he could when Sion called out, "Sapir, stop!" The attack ceased, and Richter stood there confused as to what had just happened. He wiped dripping blood from his forehead, clearing the bit that had fallen into his eyes. In his peripheral vision, he saw a golden glow, and then his wound healed. Alma settled onto his shoulders. He turned his head to look at her. "A lot of help you were," he thought in irritation. "Did that fucking pixie attack me?" The dragonling blew a short gust of air into his face.
"You're fine, master. No one likes a complainer, and yes, the pixie attacked after you cut his metumedon."
It was clear from her tone that his familiar thought the attack was all his fault. Richter rolled his eyes, but breathed out slowly, letting his irritation go. She was probably right. He looked over at Sion. His friend was still sitting on the ground and was talking quietly to his pixie. The flyer's head was hanging, and he looked ashamed. Richter walked over and offered the knife that was still in his hand. Sion started cutting the rest of his armor free. When the greaves came off, he let loose an intense sigh of relief that only a man would understand. Sion started speaking to him once the armor was off.
"I am sorry about that, Richter. Sapir was just trying to protect me. He did not understand that you were only trying to help. I have spoken with him, and he promises..."
Whatever else Sion was going to say was lost as the two companions looked at each other in shock. Richter had helped his friend to his feet, and they realized something at the same time. Sion had always been a solid 3.5 feet tall, and his head was only a bit higher than Richter's waist. Now, however, the sprite's eyes were even with his chest. If Richter had to guess, he would say his friend was closer to 4.5 feet tall now. They both started talking at once.
"Are you bigger? Did you shrink? What happened?
You tell me!
How long have I been gone?
3 months?
You cannot be serious."
"I'm not," Richter said with a smile. "It's only been a week."
"Fuck you.
Welcome back." The two friends realized they were babbling at the same time and stopped speaking. They stared at each other for a moment, then just started laughing. Richter examined his companion, while Sion examined himself. The mystery of the shrinking armor was solved. The armor was the same size. It was just that his friend had gotten bigger. "Well, you were overdue for a growth spurt, I guess," Richter said with a cocky smile.
"That is so funny," Sion responded. "Your girlfriend was just telling me you were overdue for some growth, too."
Richter's mouth wrinkled into a smirk. Being able to mock his best friend and be mocked in turn really tugged at his heart. "I missed you, bud." Sion smiled broadly.
"Love you too, man."
"All right, enough mushy shit. Let's figure out what happened."
Richter accessed Sion's status page. At the same time, Sion looked up at the limbs of the tree and said,
"I can still hear the song."
Before Richter's eyes, his companion changed again. It was not nearly as dramatic as growing an entire foot, but the bonuses from the Song of Joy and Remembrance still caused a noticeable effect. The sprite's facial features grew more refined and pleasing to look at. His gaze also sharpened somewhat as he looked at Richter. There were no other outward changes from the +5 luck or the +5 to intelligence, but it was still fascinating to behold. He checked his friend's status page to see exactly how far the sprite had progressed. The first thing that Richter noticed was that his friend was close to level 20. Soon, he would be going for his own trial, as long as the sprite could level his archery skill to 45. The next was Sion's new ability, Maidon, and also that his race had been modified with the word as well. Looking down a bit further, Richter saw that his friend's alignment had increased by 1. That sent Richter's eyes back up to his companion's stats. He confirmed that the sprite had indeed received the extra +5 to charisma, intelligence, and luck from having a +3 alignment. The Chaos Seed smiled when he realized that also meant that his friend's spells would cost 5% less mana in the future. Looking at Sion's overall build, it was clear that it was starting to be weighted toward mana utilization. When they had first met, the sprite hadn't been able to cast spells, though he had always wanted to be a caster. Sion had always been able to use the racial sprite skill of Imbue Arrow, but had never been able to cast spells until Richter had awakened air magic in him. It appeared that ever since that moment, all of his free characteristic points had gone into intelligence. There still remained two large questions that Richter needed answered. What exactly did the Maedon ability entail, and why was Sion's imbue arrow suddenly enhanced? The answer to the first was a resounding, I don't know! His friend was unable to access any more information. Apparently examining the Maedon ability just gave the prompt, the manifestation of the realization of destiny. Richter couldn't think of a more useless tagline. Sion said that his mother might know more, but also said it might remain a mystery. He reminded Richter that pixies had not been present for countless years in the land. Furthermore, celestial pixies had never before graced the land at all, so discovering what it meant to have undergone Maedon would most likely be a matter of trial and error. The only thing that Sion had discovered so far was that the air magic his pixie was attuned to had increased his own affinity back up to 100%. The second question, what enhanced imbue arrow meant, Sion did not have an answer to either. The sprite smiled so broadly, though, that Richter smiled in response. I have a plan to figure out exactly what enhanced means, the sprite said. What is the plan? Richter asked. Sion looked so happy that he was sure this would be an awesome idea. Sion picked up his bow and set an arrow to the string.
Well, depending on your perspective, this is the easiest part.
Richter's smile slipped. Chapter 35, Day 119, Kuborn 9, 15,368 EBG. Sion's experiment involved a half-drawn bow, a minimally imbued arrow, and a shot center mass to Richter's chest plate. Initially, of course, Richter told his friend to fuck off, but Sion used a two-part counter-argument of how it was Richter's turn to do the stupid part of a plan, and that the Chaos Seed was being a Yonda. Richter was completely confused at first because the word translated into goat hoof. Sion gave him a smarmy look and then deliberately looked at Richter's crotch. He finally got what the sprite was saying. The son of a bitch had just called him a camel toe. With typical guy logic, that guilted him into agreeing. Even though it was as weak as his companion could make it, Richter still fell backwards, and the boom of the arrow exploding set his ears ringing. Before he had even gotten up, he was healed by his familiar, who mentally called him a Gyoti. The reason he took a bit longer to get up wasn't just because the arrow had rung his bell. He also discovered what enhanced meant. Binding to the celestial air pixie had given Sion's imbued arrow the capability to stun his target. Richter was able to shrug off almost all of the secondary effects with his 50% resistance to air magic and because of the weakness of Sion's imbuement, but he realized it could still be a game changer. Sion helped him up, congratulating Richter for taking it like a man in the asshole way only best friends can pull off. Richter told him real men wear pants and looked at the tattered remains of clothes that the sprite was wearing. Before Sion could retort, his pixie, Sapir, flew up to Richter's face and gently said,
I saw you, Lord Richter.
Richter almost told the flyer to cut off the baby talk until he realized that the pixie was a baby. Instead, the Chaos Seed just tapped Sapir lightly on the head with one finger and said, It's okay, little buddy. Richter kept looking at the pixie, though, and was confused by something. The flyer looked just like his brothers and sisters. He had no sharp claws, and all the pixie was wearing was the same silver pants he had been born with. How had Sapir cut him? How did you cut me when you attacked, Sapir?
I'm so sorry.
The pixie boy looked entirely remorseful. Richter smiled to put the small youth at ease. I'm not mad, but I want to know how you were able to cut me. Can you show me without actually hurting me? Sapir just shook his head.
I do not know how.
The pixie was almost wailing in distress, thinking he was going to be punished. It was clear that the kid either wouldn't tell him anything else or couldn't tell him anything else. He used Analyze again. The pixie was still level 1, and his stats seemed the same as all of the other pixies he had seen. Sapir's outside appearance seemed relatively the same as the other pixies as well. There was only really one difference that Richter could see on the stat page. There was a new ability called Battle Form. Looking at the ability didn't give Richter any more information. Asking Sion about it proved similarly pointless, and Sapir was too distressed to give him a clear answer. Richter was sure that the ability was the answer to his question, though. He thought about it for a moment, and remembered that Sapir had looked normal when emerging from the Maidan. Whatever had happened had only occurred